give God a great clap offering also, worthy of all our praise today. Let's do one more. Let's thank God for our great worship team. Goodness gracious. All right, you can be seated. I'll be honest, I feel such a presence of God that I didn't even want to get up and preach. I thought, why don't I just stay here and worship? My goodness. I traveled the world, many churches. Let me just stop and tell you, you're blessed here. You're blessed here. Not only has there been a tremendous presence here historically, it's growing. Get ready. Over the next 2 years, what God will do here, if I were to try to describe it, you might not believe me. These two services will not be enough. God's going to save people. Campuses are going to erupt all over D.C. And really not because of us, because the very God who died for you, rose for you, and lives in you is going to work with us. No matter what headwinds you're facing right now, God's going to propel you. All right, let me get my iPad ready. We'll get started.
This is my big technological thing for the day.
Some of you are digital natives. That's wonderful. I'm a digital alien. It's the reality. So blessed to be here with Pastor Tullis, Pastor AJ, Pastor Miata, Pastor Tiffany, and our great team here. I've had the privilege of being here 30 years. I looked at Pastor Tullis, I go, gosh, Tullis, I guess I might have been coming to the church before you were born. You go, Pastor Jim, you look 30, thank you. You're about 40 years off, but I do appreciate it. This is my resurrection body. Take hope, this could be you. Just kidding, okay. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, man, you've been with us today. Now teach us, inspire us, amen. Keyboard player, thank you very much. I threw away the message I was going to speak on, and the Lord stopped me. He said, stop working on that message. And I did this one, I think, Friday or Saturday, I can't remember. And I entitled it, Discouraged or Encouraged? The choice is yours. Let me define these two words and then talk about choice. Discouraged doesn't just mean you kind of had a bad day and don't want to get up. How many of you don't want to get up sometimes? That's mild. Discouraged means you lost your courage. It's just too hard to go on. You want to quit. Life's beat you down. Encourage means you got your courage back. We kind of have a mild definition, I'm discouraged. Well, there's levels. But really discouraged is you've lost your courage to fight. That doesn't mean you're a coward. All a brave person is a person that does what's right in spite of their fear and circumstances. We all get discouraged. Why do I say the choice is yours? I'm not trying to be pedantic or condemning. It's just true, and here's why. Christians, not just GCC Christians, Christ followers around the world, are the only people in the world who have a reservoir of courage that never runs dry. That's because our ultimate courage is not in our circumstances, it's not in our education, it's not in our friendships, it's not in our unbroken chain of success. It's in God. Matthew 14, 26 through 27, the disciples had a pretty hard time. John the Baptist has been killed. Then thousands of people show up and interrupt their grief. There's a big miracle. Fortunately, someone brings a little bit of food and has faith, and Jesus takes a kid's sack lunch and feeds 5,000. They may have just counted men. It could have been 20,000. pens. Now they're exhausted. Jesus says, I'm going to go pray. They go, you got to be crazy. You go play, get in a boat, go have a picnic. Massive storm hits them. They're already heartbroken over John the Baptist, exhausted from taking care of thousands of people. And now they've been rowing for hours, can make no progress against the storm. And then they saw him walking on the water. They probably begin to think, well, maybe we should have prayed. They were terrified. Why? It's a ghost. Unbelief will make Jesus like a ghost to you. Can't be him. That really can't be me. That's just a ghost. Jesus coming to help me. Peter was so sure he was going to die and be beheaded by Herod. When the angel woke him up, took off his chains and walked him in the street, he goes, I thought that was a dream. Be careful. Unbelief will reduce your Lord to a sense of an illusion. They said and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage or get encouraged. It's me. Don't be afraid. I'm telling you now by the Holy Spirit, Jesus is walking into your storm today. He's walking into your pain today. Right here, right now. I normally stand up to speak these days. The Lord told me very specifically, sit down. I don't want to preach to you. I want to talk to you. I'm going to talk about our story, our strength, and our sources. I want to talk about David. I mean, how many of you know that brother had a lot of courage? Kind of like in his tweener years, he killed a bear with a slingshot, ran down a lion, snatched him by his mane, and beat him to death. I mean, that's fairly courageous. I mean, he was out delivering pizzas one day, just kidding, whatever he delivered, hummus, lamb kebabs, whatever. Just an ordinary delivery boy coming to your door, you know, DoorDash on his donkey. He got there and there's this 10-foot, 3-inch armored giant killer. And he says, okay, kill me a lion, kill me a bear. Knocked him down with a stone and cut his head off with his own sword. How many know that? That's fairly courageous. They're the toughest group of men, but now life's broken down. His wife's been stolen, given to another man. He's been outlawed. His picture's in every post office. They would have had him. He's like a renegade living with a few impoverished men in a cave. So bad he sent his parents off to Moab to live. You're pretty desperate if you're an Israelite, sending your parents to Moab. And he's coming home. He thought he was going to have to fight with the Philistines. Didn't have to. He's coming home. And here's what he finds. 1 Samuel 31-8 from the ESV. I'm kind of flip-flopping NIV ESV today. Now, when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day. Third day is, by the way, fairly important in Scripture. You see it mentioned. Jonah, 3 days. Children of Israel, third day crossed. Third day, which seems like death, going to be a resurrection. The Amalekites had raided against the Negev and against Ziklag where he lived. They had overcome Ziklag, burned it with fire, and taken captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great. They killed no one, but carried them off. They enslaved everyone, every wife, every child. When David and his men came to the city, it had been burned with fire. Their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength. I mean, these are the mighty men you read about in the Bible that fought lions and all. David's two wives had been taken captive. And Noam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed for the people, his best friends, his boyhood friends, Joab, Abishai. They spoke, of stoning him to death because they were bitter in soul over their loss. That is a stark environment that was sapping his courage. Every natural source. My wives are gone. I don't want to be crass. Were they raped? Everyone, my kids, enslaved. We'll never get them back. And my best friends are going to stone me to death. But David encouraged himself. The word strengthened there, one of the Hebrew roots is David got courage himself in the Lord. Now it's interesting. Then David went to Abiathar, the priest, the son of Abimelech, bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought the ephod to David. There's kind of a way of guidance they had, the casting of the lot, the ephod. But what's amazing, and he goes, here's my question. I got two questions. Should I chase them? They got a big head start. And will I catch them? Abiathar said, get after them, boy. You'll rescue them. Many of us feel the answer to my discouragement is fresh direction. David was a smart one. The answer to your discouragement is not a new direction. It's fresh connection. Because if you don't connect with God, even when he reveals your new direction, you won't have the strength to do it. If you're discouraged today, and many of us are, or the Lord wouldn't have dropped this message on me. And the first time I said, if you're discouraged, raise your hand. Everybody's hand was up, except two or three people. And I said, if your hands aren't up, you're probably angels. We're discouraged today. Okay, now. What's this like, encouraging yourself? How do you find courage in God when your environment's bankrupt of courage? When every natural way you're normally encouraged. Here's some promises. Be strong. Let your heart take courage, all you who wait for God. Huh. I might add, David wrote a few of these things. Like, if you wait on God, you get courage. How's that work? My flesh and my heart may fail me. I might add they will. But God is the strength of my heart. He's my strength, my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart exalts with my song. I thank him. How do we source God? How do we do it? How do we find courage? Our world's kind of a scary place right now. Wars in Europe and the Middle East. Economy crazy around the world. Radically, politically polarized country and world. Where do we find courage? Basically, in my own experience, I have discovered there are four ways to source the courage of God. You apprehend it. You find it in four ways. And let me mention them to you, then we'll talk about them. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, third person Trinity, God, the Spirit of God, the people of God, and the gifts of God. The Word of God, Romans 15, 4. For whatever was written in former days, then really speaking of the Old Testament, the New Testament had not yet been canonized, was for our instruction. That through endurance, and through the encouragement, through getting your courage back of the scripture, you can hope again. Now, if there was no New Testament, who could tell me what book in the Bible you might turn to for encouragement? Probably not Leviticus.
Don't Eat Lizards, Don't Eat Raven Beak. I mean, that's a wonderful book, a lot of great things, but I don't normally read that if I'm discouraged. How about Psalms? How many of you ever turned to Psalms and you're discouraged? Raise your hand. Wave at me. My, who wrote most of that book last I heard? David. I have found, I'm going to talk about David. I have found in my own life that when I'm discouraged, I find courage through the Bible from God. Yes, I read it. Yes, I feed on it. But when I'm really discouraged, I got to get it out of my mind and out of my mouth. And let me tell you why. In Romans 10, 6 through 10 and 17 out of the ESV, it says, but the righteousness based on faith, or this is how faith works. Don't say in your heart you got to fly up to heaven to get God to help you. Don't say in your heart you got to go down into the underworld to get something out. You got to get into the abyss. You got to bring Christ back from the dead. He's alive. It says the word you need is always near you. It's never far away. In fact, it's inside of your heart and it's in your mouth. Then he gives you an example of how you're saved and applies it. And he says this, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We were born again. Basically, we believed in our heart that Jesus died. He died for my sin. We confessed him, you're Lord, I'm following you. But this same principle is applied to saving you from everything. What you believe, you connect, and you confess. Why? Because faith comes from hearing through the word of Christ. So hearing the word, speaking the word, singing the word increases your faith. I'll tell you why in a moment. Now, have you ever seen all those captions on the Psalms? When Saul tried to kill me. When they came to my house and took my wife. When I was in the cave. When I was in the village and Saul came to besiege the city and kill me. When my son Absalom. You ever wonder about that? That means the word David used to find courage, he's sharing with you. The very words the Holy Spirit inspired to his heart when his own son was trying to kill him and he was running for the life in the night. When Saul came to besiege him in a city and they were going to turn him over. When his best friend turned against him, betrayed him. David began to learn. So what do you think he was doing there? You're my strength. You're my song. You're my high tower. All those things that you read and sing, he began to read. Now, why, when you confess the word of God, does it affect you? First of all, let me say this. How many of you know God lives in you? If you're a believer, raise your hand. This Holy Spirit lives in you. He's likened to anointing oil or fuel at times. How many of you know the Bible says the word is a fire? When you speak the word, the fire of that word ignites the power of the Holy Spirit in you, and it burns away your discouragement. That's why when I woke up this morning, and I sung and worshiped. I was in and out of worshiping in the Spirit. I began to speak. Nothing is impossible with you. Lord, no one can thwart your word. I say this morning that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I say this morning that you will provide all my needs. I was reminded last night powerfully as I was reading the word before I went to bed of the story of the rich young ruler. And he came, I want to follow you. I've kept the commandments. He said, well, great. Give away everything you have and follow me. He was greatly sorrowful. He wouldn't give up. Jesus loved him. He was heartbroken. He goes, I tell you right now, guys, it's harder for a rich person to get saved than it is for a camel to go through the eye of the needle, which was a little teeny gate for humans in the big gate.
They go, well, who can get saved? He said, what's impossible with man is possible with God. Who can be healed from cancer? Who can have a broken child come back? Who can have a marriage healed? Who can get a job? What's impossible with man is possible with God. So when you begin to speak and confess the word of God, faith comes in your heart. How many of you feel better in church? Raise your hand.
I don't know, like, I feel better in church.
Wow.
Could it be because you're singing the word of God? Oh, isn't that amazing? You're hearing the word of God when Pastor Tullis, Pastor AJ, when they preach and whoever's up here. You're hearing it. You're singing it. Oh, my goodness. Perhaps maybe if you listen to the word of God, read the word of God, and spoke the word of God, when you're not in church, what might happen? Oh, revelation. Your courage and your faith might come. Now, here's what's cool. Oh, my goodness. That's the first bit of news. Listen to this. Joshua 1:9. Let me talk about second source, the Holy Spirit. He's God. I wouldn't have wanted to be Joshua, would you? Moses was a fairly hard act to follow. On his day off, he wiped out an empire. He parted oceans. He spoke, bread dumped on him from heaven. Quails flew over. If you didn't like him and spoke bad about him, the ground swallowed you. He had such an anointing on him that people would be afraid. He'd shine like fire. He finally veiled his face not to scare him. And he was dying, and Joshua was the new man. They were on the other side of a flooded Jordan, and make it worse, they couldn't bury the rascal. He just went up to pray. They never saw him again, which means they kept thinking, the old pastor is going to come back. We're not stuck with a new guy. It's just tough. I mean, no closure. He just disappeared. And Joshua's here, oh, no. God comes to him, and Joshua, and he says, hey, I commanded you, baby. Be strong. He goes, yeah, that sounds good. Get some courage, boy. Oh, I'm feeling it. Don't be afraid. Well, I am afraid. Don't be discouraged. You're kidding me. Why? I'm with you. What's this with you deal? That means when you're around him, his courage is contagious. Courage is contagious from the head and from the body. Your brothers and sisters. Now watch this. You think, my gosh, I wish God was with me. Let me tell you, that God with me thing's pretty cool. That God on me is pretty cool. But we got it better. Listen to this. John 14, 16, and 17. Just says, listen. Flip to another. I know you think you're going to miss me, but the best thing that's ever happened is I'm going. Would you believe that if you were one of the disciples? You're not going to see me again physically. I'm taking off. This is great. They're thinking, it ain't great. It's terrible. We've had a lot of food. You've multiplied food. You walk around on water. You raise dead people. How can it be better? He said, listen. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask my dad. He's going to give you another advocate. He'll help you. And unlike me, he isn't going to die and ascend to heaven. He'll be with you forever. His name's the Spirit of Truth. The world can't accept him because it doesn't see him as invisible and it doesn't know him. But you will know him, for he doesn't just live with you. Uh-oh. He's inside of you. Whoa. This means that when you came in Christ, in fact, Jesus says, my Father and I will make our home in you. Whoa. He's in you. Well, if he's in you, why do you feel so miserable sometimes? God's in me, but maybe he's a part of me that's kind of, I can't quite find it. How do we then tap into God? You see, we know peace is a fruit of the Spirit. That means it's a fruit of, it comes out of God no matter your circumstance. So is joy. So is persistence, which is the courage to go on. How's it happen? How do we source God? How do we source his strength? Remember that woman at the well story? Jesus come over there to Sychar, Jacob's well, disciples don't want to be there. Good Jews don't like Samaritans because when they had been ethnically cleansed and deported, a new people took their country and kind of intermarried with what was left, and they didn't like them, hated them. She says, we're going to Samaria. They go, yeah, you're going yourself. They leave him on the well. They go to have some hummus, lamb kebabs, tabbouleh, whatever they're having over there, shawarma. You can tell it's getting lunchtime. And they go off. They leave him on the well, and she comes up, and he knows already, you're out here when it's hot. You don't want to be around their women. He goes, hey, I need a drink. You go, Jesus, you're mean. This poor, tired woman. Haven't you learned yet all his commands are a promise? What he commands is your potential. Follow me. Obey me. He commanded her to give her him a drink because he was soon to make her a drink. She goes, they talk about it, this and that. Give me a drink. She goes, like, hey, why are you asking me for a drink? Well, he said, if you knew who I was, you'd be asking me for a drink. She goes, and then he goes, get your husband. She goes, oh, Lord, I'm single. He goes, you are the most honest woman I've met. But you do leave out a couple small things in your story. You were married 5 times, and you're living with a man that's not your husband, but you're so honest, you're right, you're single. Oh, oh, Lord, perhaps maybe you're a prophet. Maybe I should have a drink of whatever you're drinking around here. Here's what he says. If you drink the water I have, you won't be thirsty. She goes, man, I like that. I'm sick of lugging this jug around. Well, why? Because when you drink my water, you'll never thirst again. Because I'm going to put a well on the inside of you. I'm going to create a drinking fountain in you of peace, of courage, of love, of acceptance. Well, you say, well, okay, so what's that mean? That means when you were born anew, the Holy Spirit came to live in you and he reconnected you to the life of the Godhead. Eternal life is not simply a place. Heaven is not eternal life. It's where you spend eternity. Eternal life is the life of God in you that'll one day resurrect you. When you die, you'll go to be with him. You'll one day give you a new body. And through this connection, you can experience God's peace, God's courage. How? By drinking. What's it mean to drink? We're not going to look in John 4, but he quickly goes from the word drink to the word worship. So worship is drinking. Worship, you think of automatic, well, that's singing, yes and no. Worship is any act by which you approach God and draw close to him. Hearing a sermon, confessing the word, reading the word, fellowshipping, meditating on the Bible, fellowshipping with your brothers and sisters. Every time you drink, guess what happens? You flow. You go, okay, if there is a well in me, like, where's the button? Where's the handle? Worship. The more you worship, the more it flows. That's why he said this in John 7, 37 through 39. It was the last great day of the feast. He stands, he cries out, hey, everybody out there, are you thirsty? Oh, yeah. Come to me. Yes, we come to church, but if the only time you come to him is at church, you'll be fairly thirsty Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The purpose of church, quite honestly, is not to give you a drink, it's to make you a drink. Now, he says, so if you'll come to me and drink and believe what the Bible says, you'll drink so much that out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. He said this about the Spirit to those whom he had believed had not received yet because he had ascended. Now, every time you drink, every time you worship, whether you're at work, at home, in your car, on your worst day or your best day, I'm having a bad day. God's not. God is the same. That means, how many of you know you're not the same? You have a good day, bad day, worst day, maybe better day. God don't have bad days. He's eternal. And there's a river that's always come down out of his throne. It's coming right into you. It's interesting in Acts 4, 30 and 31. When they begin to pray and cry out, it says they were filled with the Spirit. The place was shaken and they spoke the word of God with courage, boldness. They'd already been baptized in the Spirit, but you can be filled over and over and over much as you want. It's a choice. Now, if that wasn't good enough, this is cool. Sometimes we just, I don't got a word for it, we just get plugged up. It's hard to find courage. Every once in a while, you know, we get sick, we go to a doctor, maybe you get IV. But here's what's so amazing. He doesn't just encourage you directly. This is my third source, the people of God. He encourages you through your brothers and sisters. That you find courage when you come to church, when you're in foundations class, when you're laboring, when you're in, you know, love your city and all those things. Romans 12:8 says this. Pardon me. Hebrews 10:25 says this. Don't neglect meeting together. Some have made a habit of not going to church. Why is he saying that? Because they're under persecution, they're discouraged. And typically when you begin to get discouraged, you jettison your only hope of encouragement. You jettison your prayer time, you jettison your Bible, you jettison church. You jettison the head and you jettison the body. You got no source left till you go back. Now watch this. But instead of skipping church, get courage from one another and get more and more of it as you see the day drawing near. Now, isn't that interesting? That you can receive courage from one another. Now, this is interesting in Hebrews 6:1. This is an interesting, interesting verse. Leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works, faith toward God, baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. What are you thinking? My gosh. Okay. Faith, repentance, baptism, eternal judgment, resurrection. How'd laying on of hands sneak in? Like, I mean, who invited laying on of hands into that party? Like, laying on of hands, that's weird. How'd that make it with eternal judgment? Maybe the Lord made a mistake. Like, what is this hand laying deal? Well, when do you think David started getting some lion-killing courage? Oh, an old boy named Samuel put his hand on him, poured a little oil on him. Oh, that's a ritual. Well, just he wasn't killing many giants till hands got laid on him. Paul said, Timothy boy, don't forget that gift that was given you through the laying on of our hands. Well, what are you saying, Pat? I'm saying laying on of hands is powerful because courage can flow through your brothers and sisters to you. Gifts can. It's honestly a transfusion. It's an laying on of hands is God's IV to you. What you're not producing in yourself at some stressful, broken point in your life. We don't lay hands because we like touching people all the time. We lay hands because God touches people. You say, that's crazy. It may seem crazy, but it works. Now, last one. The gifts of God. We talk about prophecy, miracles, all these gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, but we forget about the Romans 12 gifts. We go, oh, mercy. I'd rather raise the dead. Well, next time you need mercy, remember that. If your gift is to give courage, do it. There's a gift of the Spirit that God gives to people to give you courage. How many ever feel encouraged around people in a supernatural way? Raise your hand. That's not just their personality.
There's a literal gift. Yes, there's a teaching gift. Yes, there's a prophecy gift. Yes, there's a healing. There's a courage gift. There are people, when they just speak to you, courage rises up. It's supernatural. Now, could it be that the same God that gives a gift of courage might be able to slip a little courage in on you? I think so. 1 Corinthians 14:3-14 talks about the one who prophesies. That's a gift too. We believe in the gift of prophecy. Is it just foretelling the future? No. In fact, it's not always that. A lot of it's just God communicating through you things, people encouraging them. And all. Now watch this. You encourage them. Then it goes, but the one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up. You're thinking, tongue? Whoa, what is that? Well, basically, you go, I've heard of this tongue thing. Well, like, what is it? Well, there are times when we're stymied and we're out of words to describe how we're feeling, that one of God's gifts is a language you've not learned. You begin to pray in it, and all of a sudden you connect with God. It bypasses your own pain. Beloved, listen, you go, that sounds weird. Well, if you'd have lived 100 years ago, phones would sound weird. Planes would sound. You're stupid. How can you believe? Flying, you idiot. Are you telling me there'll be a little gadget you talk? Oh, you're dumb. Oh, really? Well, I wouldn't. If I would have thought of it then, I'd be rich now. Listen to me. He'll encourage you. You say today, Pastor Jim, I need fresh courage. Raise your hand. If your hands are up, stand to your feet. I'm going to pray for you. Pastor Tullis, join me up here, please. I've loved this message. AJ Tullis and others will tell you they feel better when they preach. You know why? You're confessing the word. Raise your hands. Say, Jesus, I accept your courage. You say that the word encourages me. You say, as I wait on you, I find courage. You say, don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'm in you. You say, be courageous. Take a deep breath. Let his courage flow into you. I want you to reach out your hand to a person next to you. Put your hand on their shoulder right now. Make sure you touch, make sure everyone gets a hand. Say, Jesus, release courage to them. Jesus, release courage to them. Jesus, stir their faith. Jesus, stir their courage. Ooh, I feel courage in this place. Courage is in this place. God's courage. You can source courage any moment, any time, any place. Your courage does not depend on your circumstance. It depends on your God. All right. Bless my precious JCC family. One of my great honors is calling them family.
Lord Jesus, we receive that word in faith. I want you to open your hands and receive that. There's a world that you live in, that we live in, where you earn most everything that you receive, not here and not today. Here and today, this is a gift that your Father is giving to you. So Lord Jesus, by the power of your Spirit, we receive the gift of encouragement. No longer are we going to walk in discouragement and let the enemy steal away what you have freely given to us. But we choose today to receive the gift, to walk in courage today. Lord Jesus, the courage that we need, we're going to bring to our families today. And the courage that we need, we're going to bring to our community today. Today. The courage that we need, Lord Jesus, we're going to bring to our offices today. There is a place and a purpose for this courage, and it does not stop and end with us. But Lord Jesus, make us courage carriers, that we would go out of this place, not the same way that we came into this place, but Lord, that by your Spirit, we would find encouragement through your people, through your Spirit, through your word, and through your gifts. God, this is not of our own doing, but this is just because you are so, so good. Holy Spirit, move amongst us in a way that only you can. There's some of us who are even considering, is this just a feeling? Is it just emotion? God is saying, no, daughter, and no, son. You do not have to walk out of here and go back into discouragement. You don't have to leave this place and feel the world pulling you back into discouragement, because Christians are the only people in the world who are not limited by our circumstances, because the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us. Oh, Lord Jesus, that is reality. Remind us of that reality. It is not by power, friend. It is not by might, but it is by His Spirit. And so by Your Spirit, Lord Jesus, we walk out of here encouraged.